Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. At the 3:30 Bible class this afternoon, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the search to find in the Scriptures the answer to the question, what does it mean to receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad, as stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10? In other words, what is the pending judgment of the Christian? By the way, anyone can listen to the class live on the Internet starting at 3:30 this afternoon by going to our website, www.bbcmh.org/listen.htm. If that was a little too much to retain, you can ask Pastor Tomlinson or myself to repeat that. Please refer to your bulletin now for other activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during this coming week and next Sunday. We will have our quarterly congregational meeting directly following this service, and we encourage you to attend if you're able. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 1 and 2. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. Let us begin our worship with hymn number 19, The God of Abraham Prays. Continue our worship now with hymn number 291, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. please stand now as we sing hymn number 325, More Like the Master.
Standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of Jesus, our High Priest. And we are delighted to gather together here at Morgan Hill in California to celebrate another Sunday, another day of the Lord in which we gather to praise His name, to fellowship with one another, and to learn from Thy Holy Word. Thank You, Father, that Your Word that never failed. Thank You that Your Word is still with us. And thank You, Father, that You ordained that we should gather to encourage one another and to love more one another and to learn so that we can live lives that reflects the life of Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank You, Father, for the results that always bring the preaching of the gospel. And we are delighted to know that Mary and Jerry West in Costa Rica, who listen faithfully to us. Not only we pray for their healing power upon their life, but Father, You have enlightened their life and gave them a spiritual life as they share with us in a beautiful car to our church. We thank You, Lord, for the great peace that comes when we know You and for the joy they bring into our family here as a body of believers to say to them that we not only pray for them, but we are glad that they understand You and they love You. Lord, we pray for Loretta Forrest, who is still in bed, is waiting for that moment of the call to heaven. And so, Father, her life is always trusting You until the very moment. We thank You for the opportunity that Apolinario have he needs to go to the hospital this week, and I'm glad everything is over and nothing was serious. We thank You for the McDowell's family, and we pray for them, and we pray for Donald that he may be fully recovered. We thank You, Lord, that each time that we look upon our families, we see the hand of mercy and the hand of love that You have for them. And we pray that we may be a greater witness to our family by sharing Your love with those who are around us. We thank You for our country. What a blessed country we have. And we pray that we will be able to be great citizens of this country by showing the example of a life of integrity to those who are around us. We thank you for our government, and we pray for our president, the vice president, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, that they may have the mind of Christ, even though some of them deny the very fact of the Bible and the very fact of Christ. Lord, you can overcome and preserve our nation by giving people the light of heaven into their heart. Lord, we thank you for missionaries, and we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis as they are ready next month to be able to start a new mission in Pasadena. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Papua New Guinea. We are thankful, Lord, that by June 27, he's coming to our church, to June 17, to visit with us. Thank you, Father. For David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, we're also thankful that this year we'll see them as they come for around the churches to report what the Lord has done in their life. We pray for Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. They're building a new church. For Marta Peretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And Father, I'm looking forward next month to be with the rehabilitation center and to be with those men and teach again the Bible there. For Dante and Maruja Rabines, for Dr. Dante, as he, as a dentist, go around in the Amazon River, and not only fixing the tooth of the people, but also sharing his life on the gospel with them. And for Jose and Diane Avila, they prepare themselves. And thank you, Father, that you provide all the budget necessary for them to go to Costa Rica. For the Sal Valley Pregnancy Care Center here in Gilroy, California. For the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose. And then for Daniel and Miriam Lacey. And Daniel, as he finished the race today in Colorado, Father, and fly home, protect him that he may arrive safely to his family. Thank you for having these missionaries. And Father, we pray earnestly that we be a living witness in this city, that this church be filled many times with people who want to know the truth about God. We thank you that you are available. You spoke in the Bible. And as we read the Bible, we generate faith into our life, and that faith creates Christ Jesus as Savior. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now also, I'm thankful for the provision that you continually show to us that you are alive, because our ministry is alive because your people love you, and because they love you, they provide. Thank you for the offering. Thank you for the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please.
hills in order stood.
Last week, we went to 1 Corinthians 13, and we had a little demonstration of what it's like when we do things without love. And as you could have, if you were here last week, you saw that it was quite bizarre. Life can be quite bizarre without God's love. And when you see God's love in people, though, you see a total different change. You see something that's glorifying, something that's beautiful, something that's wonderful, something that's good to be thought of, good to want to do again. And if you look at the way that the choir does such a good job, the way that they do it is because of this. Let's go to Colossians. That's in page 695, Colossians chapter 3. And this is the secret. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The reason why when they sing, when they make music to God, the reason why it's pleasing to God, the reason why it's great is because it's done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And that's the key to every work that we do in Jesus Christ. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we do it heartily, as unto the Lord. They're not singing unto you guys. They are singing unto God. And when we evangelize, we need to do it as unto God. Do it in the name of Jesus Christ, and then do it heartily unto God with love. And that's the key to evangelism. Makes it easy, and it makes it quite enjoyable, just like singing to God. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle of James. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 712. We will be reading James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy, and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while, for a little time, and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our gracious God, we thank you for the scriptures. Without them, we would be ignorant of the truth. Our confidence and our trust is in you. You alone know the future. We submit our plans to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We pray that we would always be mindful that our plans that are not submitted to you are simply arrogant boasting. We ask for forgiveness for our sins of omission. We pray, Father, for our country, that we would return to acknowledge that you are the source of all our blessings, and we pray that our thankful response would be obedience. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him with all wisdom as he brings the truth from your word. We pray for understanding, not only for ourselves, but for all who listen on the radio and internet and tape and CD, so that we may apply what you have revealed in the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And once again, we encourage you to open your Bible to the fourth chapter of the Epistle of the Apostle James. I'm going to take this microphone off. I'll switch to my microphone on my back. On February, we are engaged in the study and the morning service of a series that I entitled Christianity Today. No yesterday, the glorious days of the Reformation, but today, as it is. Our first sermon was Christianity and You. And remember, we were able to understand from the Bible what is a Christian. A Christian is not someone who calls themselves a Roman Catholic or a Protestant. A Christian is someone in which Jesus Christ dwells in his soul. You want to understand a little bit more today about this, but when Christ zeroes in into your soul, then you have a resurrected life. And you reflect the life of Christ as a prophet, as a priest, and as a king. You reflect his kindness and his joy. You reflect his patience and his love. That's a Christian. A Christian is someone who is born from within and then exhibits that kindness and gentleness and firmness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today I'm going to zero in a little bit farther. And I want to share with you Christianity and your life. It's going to affect the way you live. Christianity and your life. If you look at James chapter 4 and in verse 14, the apostle says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You never know what phone call you're going to receive tomorrow. You never know how your heart is going to regulate tomorrow. For what is your life? Questioned the Apostle Paul, the Apostle James. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. In the original language, if you look on the text, that word what denotes the idea of nature and character. Thus, the question might be phrased in this way: what is the nature or the character of your life? Now, that's more interesting than what is your life. If we can translate the thought of the writer in its original language, we shall say, what is the nature of your life? What is the character of your life? Then James answered its own question. Look at in verse 14 again. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. There is a play of words in the original language that the English translation did not disclose. It is unfair in the way that it is translated. What the writer is seeking to convey is the fact that even though the vapor appears for a little while, and ceases to appear, the vapor in and out of itself that does not cease to exist. Your life is a vapor, a disappear, visible, but it still exists. The fact that it becomes invisible does not affect its continual life in another form. And this is what the writer is trying to tell you. Your life is a vapor and disappear, but your life continues. It's not that it's gone. It's not that you die and boom, nope, doesn't exist anymore. That's not the idea. The fact that you have vapor and then you see it for a while and then you don't see it again, vapor exists in another form, in another transformation in the molecular system. So we will do well and examine the full significance about Christianity and your life. Your life now and your life then, according to the Word of God. We're going to talk about three little things. First, the duration of your life. Then we're going to talk about the danger in your life. Some people, I still remember when they told me 42 years ago, don't go to America. It is very dangerous to live in America. It is an evil country. That's the way people perceive America and South America. It's very dangerous. We're going to see what kind of danger. Is the freeway dangerous in your life? Is that the city of San Francisco too dangerous for you? What did the Bible have in mind when the Bible said the danger in your life? And then the duty on your life. What are you supposed to do with your life according to the Scripture? Again, according to the Scripture. All right, let's work together. The duration of your life. According to verse 14, life is short. Look at verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. I mean, that's less than 24 hours from now. All right? On the morrow. Less than 24 hours. I was packing my clothing for my vacation. And I end up in the hospital in the very, very evening. I went to a doctor just to check my nose and my asthma and so on. And the doctor happened to say, oh, what is this? I said, what is it? He said, the heart. Well, the heart is inside. What's the problem? He said, the problem is there is no regulating very well. You need to drive Mrs. Otero right to the hospital. Oh, come on. I said, let me see. Who? I said, what is this noise? You know? And that for 2 days, finding out the coffee is really bad. All right? Life is short. You never know. I want to visit the Mills family that have Norma in the hospital. And I get a call from Brother Greg. Apolinario is in the same hospital. You look at Apolinario, looking so good. Color, pink, his face, like a good-looking Spanish. You know, and he ended up in the hospital 2 days ago. You never know what is in tomorrow. Is that right? You don't know. You can plan to, but you don't know. Life is short. We tend to forget that life has an appointment duration. When you are 20, you never think of dying. Is that right? Oh, come on. I don't even sleep at 20. You know, I don't need to sleep. I can move on. All life. It was dynamic. All right? Imagine 18, playing soccer and say the whole night in Paris. You got that energy and your body that moves on and never stops. The life has a limit. What is it? Look at in James 4:14 again. 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? What is the nature, the character of your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little and is gone. It's gone. Where? Turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. Page 708. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. We forgot that life is short and God has put limits, A to B. Look at this. And as it is appointed unto mankind to die once, but after this, the judgment. God has appointed your life from A to Z, and that Z you never know when it comes. When it comes, done, and then there is another event in your life. If you don't believe me, just go by the funeral home right here, and there are about four or five bodies laying down for a funeral service. It is that way. Some people live 30 years, some people live 15 years. I have a friend that called me from Los Angeles, 94, and he's planning a big evangelistic outreach and radio. He said, Pastor Otero, we want you to come in here, and you and I will go, 94! And you are tired at 70, this guy at 94, he's going to fly to Colombia and get into the radio. He owns the network stations of Colombia. And he said, we have you in the station at 94. And some people die at 10. See, life has a span. So life is short. Even 94 is short. All right? But life is significant. This is what I want you to get in mind. Life is significant. According to verse 14, it is a vapor that appears. You got that word appears? Appears. Your life is significant. While we are here upon the earth, we appear before men and women for what you are worth. You appear. Short. As your life is, short as your life is, it makes its own impact in terms of behavior, influence, service, and sacrifice. I was in the doctor's office. I visit more doctors than ever, just for fun, to check myself. As I want to check my ears, my nose, and to be sure there is no residues of something, so I need a doctor that goes in. And so I check my doctor. And as I wait for him, I look on it, and here's a big diploma. Important man with great contributions in the universe. The man of the year. So I look on it. So I receive an invitation from these people. I receive an invitation every year. So please write your background. We want to make you an important man. And so I said, let's see why he's important. Well, he went to Brazil, he did this, he donated this. I read all of this. It took him about 10 minutes to read all what this guy has done in life. And just sit down in your life, just for a few minutes in your kitchen, and write down all the good things you have done. Yeah, come on, all of us have done something good. So write it down, and you're a very important person. All right? You appear. There is an important aspect of this truth implicit in our text. Life appears for a little time and then, said the Bible, vanishes away. What the scripture are telling us is this. The fact that vapor ceases to appear does not mean it ceases to exist. Now, by the same token, death is no cessation of life, but rather a change in its form. You appear like a body here, you die, you appear in different form, just like vapor. For the believer, it means heaven. I guarantee it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, page 681. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. When the believer dies from this body, when he changes, let's say in this way, when the believer changes from the form that you have now, from the beautiful body that God gave you, when you change from this body to a soul existence, look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The real you, the real person, the Bible is called the soul, the real personhood of you, left this box, this beautiful body, and becomes a present with the Lord in a celestial body. It's no fat, it's no skinny, it's just a perfect body. If you were here with problems in your leg, you have no problem with your leg in heaven. just a celestial body. If you lose your hair like Brother Greg, you will have hair in heaven. Or, you know what I mean? You do not go and gone. You exist, but not in the form of a body, in the form of a celestial body. And that's what Paul said, absent from these box, present with the other. If you're a believer. But what if you're not a believer that Jesus Christ died for my sins and he rose again and paid for the penalty of my sins? What if you are not the believer? Where do you go? The Bible tells us. Go with me to Psalm 115 and verse 17. Psalm 115 and verse 17. Look at where, if you are an unbeliever, I don't mean if you are a Protestant or you're a Catholic or a Muslim, no, you are an unbeliever. That means I do not believe that I'm responsible to God with my life. I live a life in the way I want it. I care less about what God said or who God is. Then that's called an unbeliever. You do not believe that you and your personhood and your soul, you're a sinner. That you were born with a little touch that destroyed your life later on. And that touch is that you had no longer connection with God. You have a hatred, natural hatred for God. That's the way we all were born. And then only Christ can make peace with you, with God. All right? And so now if you die in your sin, we call sin because you miss the mark. You try to do good, but the only good you can do is say, God, save me. That's the only good you can do. But if you didn't, let me show you where you go. Psalm 115, verse 17. The dead, I mean the real dead, you're no longer in this body. Praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into where? Into a place called silence. You go like a deep sleep. Your soul, your personhood, your body decay on the tomb. Or maybe, like I did many times, I took a body and I put it on the ocean, the ashes. All right? Whatever you do, your body goes. But the real you, if you die as an unbeliever, you just go to sleep. When do I wake up? Show you when. Go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 20. You are asleep. You have no conscious existence of anything that happened in the universe. You have no idea of what developments they are, the new telephones or anything. Nothing. You just go to sleep. Like usually, when I sleep, you can take me out in the street, shake me up. I'm sleeping. It's okay with me. My wife walk in the room, turn on the lights. This, I'm sleeping. I just think. I want to sleep. So I sleep. I want to sleep for 2 hours. I sleep for 2 hours. You can shake my body. You can do anything I want. I'm sleeping. And I wake up when I need it. Okay, here it is. When you die, you cannot wake up by yourself. God is going to wake you up. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw, said John. Remember, John is the writer. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to his word. They don't say the living, because we will be living in heaven. We will be not judged. The dead will be judged. You know this? The living, the believers, will not be judged, but the only people that will go to court that day, and God wake up and give you, what I call it, su poema. They give you, go to court. You know, I have a car accident, and the guy tried to sue me and so on, and one day somebody knocked my door in a beautiful car and said, yes, can I help you? Yes. He gave me a paper. Now, I'm in court. All right? And so, here's what God is going to say. Wake up! It is, you are served, it's called legally. You are served. Now, your name is Gabriel? Yes, okay, Gabriel, come into court. And what's happened in court? Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, the death, and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their word. No lawyer. You are standing in court with no lawyer. You are alone yourself.
And the only thing you make a contribution to be justified is your own works. Look at what happened, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That place that you were, that place that you were away, that place also is carry on. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so the scripture is saying clearly this. You live in this world with this body. And you live in the second world with which body? In hell or in heaven? There are two places. Two places. In hell or heaven. And the scripture is very, very, very clear. So the duration of life. The life is short on this earth. But not short after that. When your life becomes involved in the presence of God is eternal. When your life becomes involved in hell is eternal. In judgment that never ends. That's how life is. And that's why we're trying to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only one that can justify you. Let me show it to you. It's not my idea. Go to your Bible, to Romans, and see with me. It is fantastic. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Look at what the Bible said. It is a great verse of the scripture. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. There is no way that God can say, I have a paper right here that condemns you. No, none, zero. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now go to Romans 5. And look in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have faith that Christ Jesus has died for your sin. And when that faith is produced by God and given to you by God, and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are able to have a new soul, a new nature. When you depart from this body to the new body, then you are in the presence of God. It's either you go to the presence of God or you go to sleep. To wait the day of judgment. So your life is short. Be sure that you have the ticket for a long life. Your life is short. But it's significant. You appear. The reason that you appear is that God wants to show you what Christ has done for you. Now, the danger in your life. There are certain cities in the world that are dangerous to live in. I assume San Francisco might be one of them. If you go to Rome, don't try to cross the street in Rome. All right? They wipe you off. So in Buenos Aires. And so in New York. I was crossing the street in New York and somebody grabbed me from the back and moved me. He said, where are you from? From California. He said, oh, no wonder. You're sleeping. I said, no, I'm crossing the street. But the cars are going. When the last car passed, you pass. Wow. That's a different lifestyle. All right? I was standing, and I don't wait on the sidewalk. I just went down one step, waiting. So get out. The car is going to pass and wipe your legs. Wow. Dangerous place. Is that the danger that I have to wait? Look. There are two kinds of danger the Bible shows. Number one, living selfishly. Go to James, back to James chapter 4. And look in verse 13. Living selfishly. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. When men and women take their life into their own hand, they have dethroned God from their life. I carry an agenda, and actually it's so much involved with my agenda, there is an electronic agenda. I just punch like this, and I get like this. Whatever I am in the world, I punch a number, and I got what I have to do next hour. An electronic agenda. But I was smart enough to write on the top of my page, if the Lord will. And then I had the whole day full, deep until the night. I don't go to bed until 11, 12 midnight. So here it is. He said, if you live selfishly, you say, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. That's a very dangerous way to live. When everything is you. Very dangerous. Then living sinfully. Look at verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and does it not, to him it is sin. The whole idea behind this word is that of willful behavior. Willful behavior. There is no greater sin in the universe than that of willfully ignoring, neglecting, rejecting what we know is right. It's amazing. That's the greatest sin. You know what is right and you don't do it. You miss the mark again. So here is the duration of life is very short, but it's long on the other side when you don't have this body. Now, the danger in your life is to be me. And me, and me. And the other danger is I know what is right, but I will not do it. Amazing. Willfully. Verse 17 said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good. You read the scripture and the scripture say you're a sinner. And you said, I care less. Now you are willingly challenging God. Amazing. You know in the scripture that the scripture said you cannot get divorced. And you willingly divorce. Knowing that it's wrong. Knowing that it's wrong. Now there are cases where you are not involved in this. You somebody divorced you. And that's a different story. But if you provoke it, that's sin. That's sin. Children, you disobey your children. When the Bible says, children, obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1. So I know, but my parents are wrong. And you willfully disobey your parents. The Bible says, honor your parents. You leave your home, you are married, you're still attached to your parents, and you need to have a life, the honor, the life that you came from. Dangerous way to live. All right. Now, the duty of your life. In verse 15 of James 4, the Bible says that we need to acknowledge God's will. Look at verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. It is our duty to acknowledge God's will in this universe, in the world and in our life, if the Lord wills. Oh, I want that. Forget about that. Does the Lord wants me to have that? That is the key. That is the most important thing you should ask young people in your life. The scripture tells us that we must discover God's will for our life. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, page 689. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, page 689. We must discover, we have a job to do as Christians. We have to discover God's will for our life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, page 689. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what? For good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, that's God's will. God's will is, well, I want to do this and the other. No, is that God's will for your life? It's in the scripture. This is what the scripture tells you. So, come on, Pastor. Are you telling me that the scripture tells me everything? Yeah, that's. That's. You only have to look on it. Let me give you an example. If you look in your Bible, where the Bible said this is God's will, that's it. Just one example. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, which is page 696. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Just one example. Look at what the Bible says. For this is the will of God. Is that clear? If you get in a concordance and you look for this is the will of God. You say, I want to disobey my parents. Well, find a verse in the Bible that said, for this is the will of God. All right? Find it. Hear this. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, your separation, that ye should abstain from fornication. This is the will of God. The reason why a woman or a man who is married do not go and have intimate relationship with anybody in the world is because God says so. God's will for your life. You don't need to argue for that. And you find verse after verse. For this is the will of God. For this is the will of God. It's just amazing. And you need to discover that. What so Ephesians is telling me is read your scripture and mark in green all the things you can do for God. If you do not read the scripture, if you only have the food this morning only for the whole week, you must be a very weak Christian. If this is the only food you have for the whole week, my teaching to you, you must be a very, very weak Christian. You need to read this scripture every day because it's a book for me. What do you want me to do tomorrow? So you discover, as I tell, read the book of Proverbs. You find the book of Proverbs, the riches of God's counsel. Read the book of Psalms. You find the lamentations of a man who is frustrated. You need to acknowledge God's will, and you not only acknowledge, you need to accomplish God's will. Look at again in James chapter 4 and verse 15. For we ought to say, James 4 verse 15, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that, and do this and that. In other words, we should acknowledge God's will, and then after we acknowledge God's will, do what God really said. All right? Now, God's will operates in three areas of personal experience, and I want to show it here. Number one is salvation. That's Romans 10, verse 13, page 667. Romans 10, in verse 13, page 667. Here is the will of God. For whatsoever... Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will be saved. That's the will of the Lord. Whosoever. You are black, you are white, you are yellow, green, whatever color you call yourself. Whosoever. You are Assyrian, Argentinian, Italian, even Americans. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. Why? Because the Bible says so. Not amazing? That's the will of the Lord. See, accomplishing God's will. You have to do it. You cannot say, well, yes, I know Jesus is good. Oh, yes, the people of God are good. You have to say, I will believe. God has created in me this power to believe. And I will not reject it. Watch out, because Israel lost 6 million people because they rejected the will of God. The book of Hebrews in chapter 3 said they die in the desert because they believe not. And that means they finish with this body. They are in silence until the day of judgment. 4 million to 6 million Jews. God take them out of Egypt into the desert and they believe not God. Sanctification is another God's will. Look in the book of 1 Peter. If you're in James, the next book will be 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 and verse 16. Sanctification means your life needs to be separated from a worldly lifestyle. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, is separated, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written. In other words, it's not the opinion of James. It is written, be ye holy, for I, God, am holy. And so we need to live a separated life, a life of integrity, a life which shines, like I told you last week, shines the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be kind, you need to be gentle, you need to be patient, you need to be loving all the time. Amazing. Amazing. We lose our cool like that. You're driving in the freeway and you in America... You drive from this hour to this hour and you think you're going to get to that point in half hour. I was driving to Gilroy. The traffic stopped. And I, when the traffic stopped, I just watched the people smiling, you know. And smiled everybody. Everybody looked at me, you know. He said, the guy must be a nut. And I smiled everybody. And one guy was doing like this, and he got the train. He was doing like this. And you know those steering wheels, you move it up, and you move it down, and he moved it, move it down. So I said, the guy stopped. I stopped my car, put the lights, opened the door. I said, hey, how are you? He looked at me. He said, what happened? He said, I don't know what happened. Why don't you come in and talk to me? So he came out, and we are talking. Now we are blocking the traffic. We are talking. He said, what's happening? What happened to your life? He said, well, you know, he said, I have to be there. Well, if God say no, God, yeah, God can stop you. Well, where is God? Yeah, that's a good question. I have a Bible. So we go to the car. In the car, in the Bible, everybody was in a scandal. And I said, why don't you... why don't you come in and drink a cup of coffee with me? So we went out, drink a cup of coffee with this fellow. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. He said, I'm very busy. I said, I'm busy too. Are you in a hurry? I'm in a hurry. Drink a cup of coffee. Enjoy it yourself. And so I pay it. I said, don't worry. He said, don't worry. He said, $3 was in Starbucks. Don't worry. My church will pay. Your church? You go to church? Oh, yeah, yeah, I go to church. He said, you have a pastor? I have a good pastor. I really enjoy. And the guy lost half hour. And now he never noticed. He said, well, thank you very much. You're a funny guy. He said, you must be an entertainment. I don't told him I was a pastor. And he got into the car and he drove away. And he was mad in the freeway. Mad as can be. And then he lost half hour because I entertained him. I tell you, cool off when you are at the limit. Cool off, will you? And enjoy. Put a cup of coffee. Put a cup of tea. If Ramil gives you a tea from Iraq, you really get really excited. Do something. I tell you, please accomplish God's will in your life. Couples, don't lose your cool. We are having the best time of our life with Raquel. Best time of my life. I'm old and striking in years, but I really enjoy it. I enjoy my marriage. Sometimes I can say, oh, I'm tired. Give me this. I can play. I tell you, it's just fantastic. 46 years of our life. Looking for the Cassandra, more than 54, Brother Plika. You know, we have examples in our congregation. They tell you that we need to be patient, we need to be kind, we need to be gentle. When you have Christ Jesus, you can accomplish God's will in your life. Don't let the people outside block you from that. Salvation is God's will. Sanctification is God's will. And the last one is service. Look at in Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. You go to the left from where you are, and in Romans chapter 12, you find Romans after Acts is Romans 12. And I'm going to read for you verse 1 and verse 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, a living sacrifice. You got it? Your life is not joy, joy, joy. It's a sacrifice. You deny yourself to please the other. And the other deny themselves to please you. That's how we arrange a marriage. All right? When Raquel said, I don't want you no longer to play soccer. Well, no, and I was a boyfriend. And I said, well, I give that away. For her. When you have love, you quit soccer. I got the money. Goodbye. You know, I don't worry about it. Look at verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Don't pay attention to the standards of this world. But ye transform. By what? By the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect. What? Will of God. Don't think that to do the will of God is a penalty. Boys and girls, don't think that when God said, do not look to an unbeliever to start a relationship because you cannot marry him. Don't think that's bad, even though the boy looks so good. Don't think it's bad. When God tells you that, do it with joy. Preserve your life. When the Bible says, obey your parents, whether they are right or wrong, maybe 90% wrong, 10% right, but when you obey them, you please God. Wife, when you respect and honor your husband, you please God. Husband, when you love your wife, you please God. Because God says so. You see, it's just fantastic. I have one text. They say everything in one text. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. If you were in James, keep on rolling to the right, you get 1 John 2:17. That saith everything. And the world is passing away, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. I enjoy my granddaughters as much as I can. As they grow, I enjoy them more. And as they grow, you know, after 17, 18, they get to have a boyfriends or something like that. And so I enjoy the others who have not had boyfriends. I can ride with Emma. And when Emma was here in my house, he always, she and the little one, they come in to see what they can have. So they look at my office, look and say, what did he have new that we can grab? You know, they go like that. And so finally, they say, what is in the room? Books. And I books and look at books, books. What is in the other room? Books. Books, 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 books. And nothing attracted to electronics or anything. I hide everything. going around and around. And finally, we sit down in the long sofa that I enjoy down in my office. And she looked to me. And Emma said this, Papi, when you die, what will be written on the epitaph of your tomb? What is Emma? 14, 15? 14. Wow. That was like if somebody throw you you know, when you win a championship, they come with ice water and throw it to you. And you got like that. I said, I already thought about it. And I have it here. I said, this only can be opened when I die. So I took it as a book. All right. And I said, here's they said. When I finish, these are the last words. He followed God's will for his life and never regretted. That's my epitaph. She said, that's good. That's good. I said, Emma, all these books are nothing compared to my 22 Bibles that I have studied on radio and all that I have marked and these seven languages of mine. All of this is nothing. All of these books of medicines are nothing. All of these, nothing. Here's God's will. But you can know it and reject it. Or you can know it and do it. And when you die, you will never regret that you love God. It's going to be tough times. Tough times. I remember when my father said, why are you going to marry a short girl like that? Don't you look your mother, blonde, blue eyes and tall like you? And I said, well, I'm in love with Raquel. He said, but son, you are too young. I was 25. Too young. You should marry a 40. Everybody is feeling that way. But you need to know what is God's will for your life. You need to know what is God's will for your life. It's not that I like this or I like the other. It's this God's will for my life. As we study today, God's will for your life is that you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't want you to go to hell. You need to ask God to give you the grace to believe. God, give me the grace to believe that Jesus will penetrate my soul. And one day, He's going to do it. If you are a Christian, remember to be holy. You know, the Roman Catholic Church made saints after death. That's very bad. Saints are on life. On life. Now you can be a saint. Now you can have a life separated to the glory of God. Don't worry about boyfriends. Don't worry about work. Don't worry about it. God's going to beat everything on the line like He did it to me in this country. My friend, what is your life? What will be the epitaph on your tomb? Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blessing, of following the Scripture. Thank you for the blessing of doing your will. Lord, bless us as we try with all our heart to follow you. Bless those who have not even understanding of you. Like we were before. We are no better than anybody. We are the same. But God, give us the knowledge of the Almighty. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Thank you. Thank you again. I want to be like Jesus. That should be the target of all our life. Now on to the King Eternal, Immortal, Invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.